Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein, a.k.a. AWOD is the name that they gave me while I was video producing for The Sports Junkies, the greatest radio show here in the DMV for the last 25 years. Yes, they're celebrating their 25th anniversary. And for their drinking show last year, they decided to have a special guest. And so they called me in and they said, Adam, would you have your father on the show, who they called Maury from time to time? And so he was on the station last year. And so he's got a little experience. And now I'm welcoming him back onto the show is my dad, Mike Epstein. What's going on, Dad?
Good morning. Good morning, D.C.
Good morning. Happy early Father's Day. This is my father, Michael Epstein, coming on the show. Mike Epstein, Mike from New York, from Great Neck, New York, a 30-year Fairfax County public school teacher, D.C. tour guide, tennis coach, math tutor, English teacher, Hebrew speaker, book reader, bike rider, swimmer, and one of Old Town Alexandria's finest.
Well, thank you. I'm not the best tour guide, but I enjoy it.
Well,
that's the important part.
Thank you. You're my hero, Dad. My favorite person to talk to, my mentor, my leader, my biggest critique of my radio show, my dad. So thank you for coming on the show. Why don't we start with this? What is your favorite memory from being a Washington football team season ticket holder? Because you paid for those season tickets for over 15 years, and a lot of the times it was crap.
You know, even when we won, walking back to the car, all the way back up the hill, I still felt like we lost. There were just so many defeats. And to have more people from the other teams supporting was just sickening. I hated that.
Yeah, and we would get into arguments because, you know, we would blame different things. I would want to blame the coaching staff. You would blame the quarterback. And so it did feel like a loss even though we won. But I do miss those times. You know, we had some great times going to Washington football team games for a long time.
It was always fun, and it was kind of fun when you were carrying a camera and people yelling out AWOD and then getting some free hot dogs or burgers from people, and it was great. I actually would like to go back, but I'm not going to start in with season tickets anymore.
No, you do like to take advantage of your son being somewhat of a local celebrity. You're like, can we get free drinks here? Can we get free food here?
Well, I do that as a tour guide too. So I've been doing that for a lot of years.
So. Well, why don't you
take advantage?
Why don't you answer this? All right. Cause I'm sure that the audience would be interested in this. You know, I grew up playing a lot of soccer, played tennis because of you. I played basketball at South County. Do you have a favorite memory from coming to all my sporting events my entire life?
I still think one of the best was, going to T.C. Williams, because I once sat next to Coach Boone at a basketball game. And that was at Lake Braddock, I think, with Kara Lawson. And then I remember you were in ninth grade on the freshman team, and nobody expected you to even start. And all of a sudden, there you are starting. And I believe what happened is you stole a ball and got a layup at the end and won the game. So, because it's T.C. Williams and remember the Titans.
Yeah.
That was terrific.
No, it was incredible. I remember that game. I definitely had a big steal and a late layup to tie the game. And then I got to give credit to Garrett Taylor, who hit the three-pointer to win. And I'll never forget, Dad, as we were – the game was in T.C. Williams, freshman year. But they treated the freshman basketball like it was the most intense varsity regional championship. And so when we beat them, we were walking off the court – and fans literally spit on us from the top of the stands because they couldn't believe they lost to South County.
Well, T.C. Williams was, they used to, in their old gym, It was small and everybody was on top of each other. And they were loud. And, yeah, it was sort of like being at the Redskins games and having all the other fans, yell and scream, out scream the.
Well, let me ask you this. Why did you love taking me to high school basketball games so much? We went to Hayfield games throughout the entire 90s, and Hayfield in the 90s was like Duke college basketball. You know, they were the best team in town. They had an incredible rivalry with TC. It was like Duke versus North Carolina. Why was it that we went to so many games dating back to when, you know, I was in a stroller?
I was first an assistant and then a tennis coach at Hayfield, and so it's fun to be a teacher and a coach, and it was just it was so much fun. The team had such great spirit, the Felton brothers, and it was just wonderful. And I just started taking you when you're a little baby, and then I think when you were two or three, you started, looking at the scores and saying, "We're 17 points down," and I'm saying, "How did you figure that out?" So it was just.
I was counting. I was cheating. I was counting with my fingers and my toes.
but I didn't know that.
Here's a good question. Tell the audience one thing you'd like to improve as for me as a radio host.
Lovely. I got to think this out for a second. I am a critic, and sometimes I think just calm down a little bit. I love your enthusiasm, but sometimes I'm saying, how can you keep it? You got to keep sometimes a medium level.
But, my energy is going to kill me, but it is infectious, I believe. I thought you were going to say it was my vocab, because I definitely need to work on saying different words that mean the same thing, right? I need a thesaurus.
Well, look, English was not your favorite subject, and I know you're working on vocabulary and expressions, and I still have tremendous difficulty remember expressions like bird in the, I'm terrible with expressions, but I can remember dates and presidents. I don't know. Somehow everybody has their forte.
Yeah. Well, you are mostly modest, but at times when it's just me and you, you'd get a little, bravado and talk about you being the greatest tour guide that DC has ever had. And so I'm going to put that up to the test right now. Washington, DC trivia with my father, Michael Epstein. All right, let's get it started. Fast pace. I don't know, Ryan, if you have any music that we can get to right here. It is the Washington, DC trivia with tour guide Mike E on 106.7. All right, fast pace. All right, no looking up the answers. I know you got your Samsung Galaxy. No typing in answers. Let's start with this.
I've got the phone to my ear.
All right, who designed the District of Columbia?
Ah, that's good old Pierre L'Enfant.
Nice. Who is the only...
With the help of Benjamin Banneker.
Nice. Who is the only president in U.S. history buried in Washington, D.C. at the National Cathedral?
That's an easy one, because I think his son-in-law was the director. That was Woodrow Wilson.
Wow, two for two. How many bathrooms are in the White House? And I have not told you any of these questions before the interview.
I've been in the West Wing. Well, I've been through the White House. They don't let you use the bathrooms. But it's a weird number. I think it's 35 bathrooms.
You are right on that. I would love to take a dump in the White House one time. Who was the first president?
They didn't have bathrooms until like 1860. So,
really?
It was necessary rooms outside, maybe.
Who was the first president to live in the White House?
Wasn't George. He was up in New York and Philadelphia, so it was good old John Adams and Abigail, and the first floor was a laundry room.
You are knocking this out of the park. How did the famous cherry trees, everyone goes to see the cherry trees every year, how did they end up in D.C.? What's the story there?
I believe it was William Howard Taft's wife. There was a woman back in the 1860s and 70s, I forget her name, that wanted to make a beautiful area where people could picnic, and so It was the mayor's wife of Tokyo that sent 2,000, I think, in 1910, and they were insect infested. And then in 1912, they sent over like 3,200, I think. And a lot of those, well, that's the sad part. A lot of them died. I think there's only five or six from that time. The average cherry blossom is only 30 or 40 years.
Ryan, are you impressed? I feel like my dad's killing it right now. I mean, he can't miss. He's like Terrence Mann last night.
This is crazy. I did not know any of this.
All right, we're all learning stuff. All right, Dad.
Tour guides have to, you have to go through some work. And then there's the Guild of Professional Tour Guides that, you know, you join and you need to learn. Steady up.
I get it. All right. There are four monuments on the National Mall and Tidal Basin not dedicated to a president. Can you name three of the four?
Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
There's one for Erickson.
John Erickson.
And John Paul Jones.
Yep. And the fourth was George Mason Memorial. So you got three of the four there.
Right next to, he was a good friend of Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, a lot of people don't get to see him.
How old, very important
for the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, how old is the Washington Monument?
It's very old. Is that good enough? It was started, I believe, about 1848, I think it was Polk. And sometimes they say 1884 is finished, sometimes 1888, but it was about 40 years. And sadly, it just stood there at about 130, 140 feet, and then they finished it up. But long time.
Yeah, you could tell I get bored listening to your facts here, because I'm already ready to move on to the next question.
Disappointing. I try to give you things, and you and your sister never want to hear. It's like when I'm with you, I might as well
be a dog. All right. Washington, D.C. has a street for every single letter. There's A Street, B Street, all the way to Z, but one letter is missing. Ryan, I know you don't know this answer. You do not have any idea, do you? Did you even know this fun fact?
I did not. I did not at all.
All right, Dad, which is the one street that's missing the letter?
Oh, my God. You might have stumped me on this. Let me think hard. I walk down the streets a lot, and it is very controversial. Not controversial. It's J Street, because in the old English, the I and J, the way they wrote, looked very similar. And there's other stories about the Jay Treaty and Thomas Jefferson not liking Jay and Supreme Court Justice. A lot of stuff, but it's Jay.
All right. So you nailed that trivia. You literally got all of the questions right. So I will give you an open mic here. All right. Don't take
That's
too long.
It? That was it?
That you was it. 15 seconds here. Why don't you tell the audience what is the best museum to visit in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to just say my favorites are Museum of African American History, Museum of American History, National Gallery of Art. I love the Museum of Natural History. I mean, there's just so many great. And also, to get a little bit away from D.C., Udvar-Hazy Air and Space 2.
Yeah.
But my favorite, believe it or not, is Arlington National Cemetery to go to.
So you knew everything with the trivia here. Now I'm going to tell you something you didn't know, Dad. Growing up, you would have maybe one beer a night, right? Two a week at the most. But in our fridge outside, you know, like most, you know, suburban households, we had an inside fridge and an outdoor fridge. And you would buy yourself a 24-pack of Bud Light, and you'd put most of the beers in the bottom drawer. And then you did this routine that I noticed, because I noticed routines, where you would take two beers out of the bottom drawer and put them so you could see them. And sometimes when you'd come home, you'd open the fridge and take one beer. Well, little did you know that every time you replaced one of the two beers, I was grabbing from the bottom of the fridge, stealing them, and hiding them in my secret room. How do you like that?
It doesn't surprise me, your secrets you did, like at 4 or 6, running down the stairs, watching something, and then I go over to your room, and somehow you ran back and pretended you were sleeping. And I said, what was that noise? And then, you know, you're pretending. So I found out a lot of these. But that secret room was cool behind. It was a really nice, it was like a whole attic behind your room, and that was a fun place.
Well, here's another thing that I think is funny that the audience might get a kick out of is me and you had a ping pong table in the basement, and we played a lot of ping pong when I was growing up. And then I would say in high school, we didn't play as much. And so it had been a few years since you had been down there, and you came down to the table and you said, Adam, what are all these stains on the table? Why is it so sticky? You know, what is going on? Why is the floor sticky? And that's because I was playing beer dash and beer pong with all my high school friends there on Friday and Saturday nights while you were sleeping at 8 p.m.
No, I really wasn't sleeping at 8, but I was annoyed. That was a good, I mean, I helped build that with a friend, Bruce, that room. I didn't know how to do anything. I just followed him. But I was really proud of that. You know, there was darts and the ping pong, right. And that annoyed me when I found out a couple of times. Basically, it ruined the table. But we did have some. I mean, at first, I could beat you 21-2, and I must admit that you know, now it's really, really close. But I only win like 1 out of 5. But
yeah, and
I
we do have a tradition.
Taking the shirts off and yep. Just sweating and sweating.
We have a tradition when we play ping pong. We both take our shirts off after the first game. Because you need that mobility. You need that arm and shoulder mobility in ping pong.
Well, it got hot in the room, too. You know, it was 20 by 14 or something, and it got hot. But what's funny is, maybe you don't know, is my brother won a college tournament. I won a high school tournament, and I played, he's 4 years older, and I played against him when I was like 7 to about 14 every single day. Mm-hmm. And my sister would watch, and sometimes she'd say, "Get out of here."
The Epstein family is absolutely a ping pong family. Dad, thank you so much for hopping on the show. I've enjoyed this. I hope the audience has enjoyed it. So before I let you go, what would make it a perfect Father's Day for you tomorrow? I can't buy you a new car. I can't afford that. Maybe I could get you an iPhone. I'd love for you to move on from Android. How could I make it a perfect Father's Day?
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. We're going to do everything that I want, and you're not going to complain because we're going to play some miniature golf and maybe some croquet, and then we're going to go swimming, and we're going to go out for a brunch, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day, so looking forward to it with you and your sister.
Yeah, I
Ariel,
I will make it a close game, but I will probably let you win. All right, so you be.
I don't want you to give it. No, I'm competitive. I want you to. No, I don't want you to give away anything. And I might even challenge you to tennis, which I used to just kick your butt, and now, oh God, all you do is slam the ball, and I hate it.
Well, no, so. It reminded me. It is a funny thing that we used to do growing up. All the time was we both played on the Temple softball team, and you were the pitcher, and I would play left field. And why don't you let the audience know about your smashes at the third baseman? All you would do when you got up to the plate, was hit it right to the third baseman. You could not hit it anywhere else in the ballpark.
I was happy to at least hit it hard, but the thing is, I don't know every fifth time maybe I'd get it over their head. But I don't know. I just
but you
kept
took
on,
a lot of pride in being this. You took a lot of pride in being a slow pitch softball pitcher.
It is not. I had like up to 16 feet arc, and I used to love it. Yeah, and I had some special ways of curve balls or something. But it was all good until I got hit in the chest once and almost hit in the face once. You know, when they're 45 feet away and they're hitting the ball 85 miles an hour. It's not a good spot to be.
No, it's not. But your arc. It's all about the arc, I guess, with softball pitches, right? That was fun. Thank you so much, Dad. Do you have anything else you want to let the audience know before I let you go? Any embarrassing stories about me that you were dying to get off your chest?
You have an hour or two? Yeah, I was just talking to somebody the other night, and I said, why was it every time it snowed that I did the whole driveway, and it was 2 feet and 3 feet, and you and your sister came out like in the last 10 minutes and said, do you need any help?
Yeah.
Or I'd yell in and say, come on out.
Yeah, you did a lot of yelling
heard that.
In our household, but I it was simply this. I enjoy hot weather. I like to, you know, take my shirt off. So I the cold weather, I didn't want to be out there shoveling snow.
Yeah.
You know, I also didn't do a good job mowing the lawn either. Even when you were on vacation, I would have rather paid a friend to mow it myself.
Yeah, I think you did it maybe 5 times out of my 780 times.
All right,
yeah.
All right, that's enough. You're embarrassing me. Right?
You want more?
Hang
you want more?
Before he says some more stuff. That's my dad, Michael Epstein, here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein with you until 11:35 on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Grant and Danny as well. Both of them are fathers. Ryan, you work for Grant and Danny. How much do you enjoy looking at Grant Polson's Instagram when he posts his daughter? Like, I just think it's the cutest thing, the way he brings her to sporting events. And every time it's like, it's my daughter's first, you know, watching a football game. It's her time, first time watching the Wizards. I just think it's the cutest thing ever.
It is great. You know, and Grant's a great father with Reagan as well. So the president is what they call her.
No, he's the best, man. And congrats to Danny Ruye for all his success. Man, that Charles Barkley bit has blown up. And look, I'm not going to take anything away from his credit. It's all his credit. But I deserve a little bit. For a few years ago on the Sports Junkies, they had Frank Caliendo in studio. And Frank Caliendo, one of the greatest impressionists ever. But I basically said, no, Frank, I know someone who does a better Charles Barkley. And I used to intern with him. His name is Danny Routier. And then they brought in Danny, and then it was dueling Charles Barkleys between Danny and Frank Caliendo. You can find it on the 106.7 YouTube page. I guarantee you'll laugh. It's a great bit.
It is great. It was so nice to see Danny blow up, too.
And then you guys had Barkley on the show for like 45 minutes this week, right?
Yeah, he gave us 45 minutes of our time, and it was awesome. I loved it. I went back and listened to it again, even
really?
Though I was listening to it live.
Yeah, I definitely need to go listen to it. I did see, maybe it was last night or the night before, but Danny did an Instagram Live bit with Ari Spears. And first off, it was hilarious because I think they were having like technical issues for the first minute of it, but then Ari got on and they were doing Shaq versus Barkley, and I was dying. It was so great. It was like both of them were going off the seat of their pants and just improvising. And Danny's just so talented at that. I mean, I've gone to see his comedy shows. I've always supported him since I was an intern with him, and he's just got this incredible comedy style that's like, it works great for millennials in my opinion, because he does a lot of like video game shtick or pop culture shtick, and so I'm like, to the moon, like stocks, now that Danny's getting all this airtime all over the country.
Danny Ruye, stock to the moon. You are right. I think he's going to be blowing up even more after this.
Danny Ruye over Dogecoin.
Oh, yeah, easily. Any day of the week.
Yep. Adam Epstein here on 106.7 The Fan. Joining me next will be Chris Russell. You can hear him daily on the Team 980. We'll be discussing the Washington football team, their offseason. And main question is, does Washington possibly have the fastest offense in the league? More of that next on The Fan. Welcome back to DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. This is AWOD Weekend Radio. At AWOD Radio, AWDDRADIO is where you can find me on social media, and you can tweet me throughout the show. And most of the time, the show is open lines. But right now on the hotline, I'm happy to be joined by afternoon host on the Team 980, Chris Russell. Welcome back on the show, Chris.
What's up, AWOD? How are you, pal?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Happy early Father's Day to you, Chris.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And to your dad and all that and all of the dads out there, no doubt. Yeah, it's a good weekend, man. Should do some grilling if the weather holds up. And
yeah,
you should be able to eat whatever you want without any dietary restrictions. But unfortunately, when you've done that for most of your life, A1, you might have to cook a little bit healthier for you this weekend.
Well, you know, I like to ask controversial questions, so you can choose to answer this or not. But I know you like controversy as well. Who is the best dad at 106.7 The Fan? Is it Eric Bickle? Is it Grant? Or is it Danny? You know, is it JP Finley? Can you name the best dad on The Fan?
That's a great question. That's a fascinating question. I mean, so because I'm not officially on 106.7 anymore, I guess I can't obviously mention myself or include myself in this, right? So I'm going to go either JP, Cakes, well, I mean, all four of the junkies, Grant. I would say this with no disrespect to anybody. I'm going to go with the guy that I've been kind of aligned with the most in my radio career here in DC. And that's my boy GP. I think he's an outstanding dad, even though he's only been at it for a couple of years. Yeah. I see a lot of Instagram videos. I tell him that. Yeah, I tell him this all the time, though, right? Like, I'm like, you know, he's probably been my best friend in DC radio for like 12 years. We started together in 2007 at Sirius XM. You know, I used to make fun of him because he was on the Letterman show. I used to hate I used to hate him, and I told him all the time. I was so bitter and so jealous of Grant when he was a youngster because he got to go to Super Bowls and I didn't, and all that.
Yeah.
That was the young me, right? The vindictive, critical me. I love Grant and you know, like in a friend sort of way. And I think he, you know, I tell him this all the time. I said, you know, I don't know either one of your kids. I've never met the presidential branches that he's got sprouting from his family tree. I said, but I really know them because of the great job that he and Allison, his wife, do chronicling their, you know, day-to-day existence on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's so weird, right? Like people say, well, why are you on the ground? Are you looking at hot chicks, all this? No, I'm looking at I'm looking at my friend's kids because I'm so old. It makes me feel like, hey, young again. And B, because of this stupid pandemic, I haven't been able to see anybody. So yeah. Grant's got two kids that I haven't been able to meet. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're really close. So I know them through Instagram. So anyway, maybe my opinion is a little bit colored in that regard.
No, but you say a good thing about Grant that you know, I feel like he doesn't get a lot of credit, enough credit for what he did as a child, you know, and rising in this industry so quick. And so you said you hated him at first. For me, it was the opposite. He was the biggest mentor of mine because I felt like any millennial that wanted to be a journalist, you found out about Grant Poulsen early on, and it was like, man, he's doing all this cool stuff. How do I be like him? So that's why he's been a great mentor for me. But I will say the best dad at 106.7 The Fan, hands down, is Eric Bickle because of his commitment to his kids' sporting events. He's driving
that's
all around the country for his kids' lacrosse games, and now he's actually calling Marist lacrosse games for his child. You can hear him. He's like on ESPN3 sometimes.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I was thinking about Bickle, but like, how do I leave Cakes out? How do I leave? You know, Bish does a lot of the same thing. Not that he does the broadcasting, but I mean, he's been all over the place, you know, with his girls through sports and softball. You know, there's a lot of great parents, a lot of great. The one thing that I would say, and not to go too far on this, you know, I think for the most part, right, we as, you know, well, now two stations, right, because, you know, me and Pete are both dads. You know, Sheehan's a dad. I think Travis is and Reese will be. You know, I think we have a bunch of, you know, those of us that are dads are you know, from what I know, pretty good dudes. And what I said on my show yesterday, Awad, I don't know if this makes sense to anybody. Maybe, you know, to the younger crowd it doesn't. It takes zero to be a father. It takes a lot to be a dad. And I mean that. I mean that sincerely. You know, a lot of work and a lot, you know, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of love, a lot of effort goes into being a dad.
You say it takes nothing to be a father. And for me, it takes me finding a woman to be a father.
well, Awad, that might be your greatest challenge. you know, but I'll, you know, you're a young, virile buck, so I'll let you pursue that on your own.
Well, we do have to move on from this, but I do, as you mentioned, not being able to see kids because of the pandemic. I haven't been able to see Drabby's twin daughters, and he's my best friend at the station. So, man, I've got to go see him. He's a great dad. And
Drabby lives 10 minutes from me, and I haven't met his daughter. So, it is what it is, right? Yeah. But happy Father's Day, seriously, to everybody
out
there. And like I said, it takes a lot more to be a dad than it does a father, in my opinion.
So I put this out there to the audience, and I want to get your take on this. Hot take machine, Chris Russell. How fast could Washington's offense be in 2021? I think it could be scary fast, maybe even the fastest in the NFL. What do you say?
Yeah, I would say top five. I mean, I don't have a radar gun or any way to prove that, but, I mean, you add Curtis Samuel, you add De'Ami Brown, both with vertical speed, both with inside ability, both with breakaway speed. You look at De'Ami Brown. He averaged over 20 yards per catch at North Carolina. Now, again, that's college. That's the ACC. Clearly, defenses are better, more sophisticated, talented, what have you, in the NFL. But it tells you something, right? Terry McLaurin, we know he's 4.35 speed. Curtis Samuel has always been in the 4.3s, versatile, can do whatever. I think Logan Thomas, for a tight end, is athletic. I'm not saying he's the fastest guy in the world, but he's certainly athletic. I think John Bates is going to surprise some people. And clearly, if somehow, some way, Samus Reyes finds a way as that number three tight end on the roster, he's fast and athletic. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to say something about Ryan Fitzpatrick that not many dopes are going to say,
okay. So
maybe it makes me the dope. He's pretty fast, too. And what I'm for a 39-year-old guy out of Harvard, you wouldn't think that he can move around as good as he, by design, AWOD, and sometimes by necessity. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to surprise some people, especially if you compare him, to, unfortunately, what Alex Smith's leg him to be. And
Russell, is he faster than prime Alex Smith back with Kansas City or San Francisco?
Great question. I don't know if he's that fast, but he's not that far off, is how I would say.
Okay.
But prime Alex Smith was probably better. But this Ryan Fitzpatrick is also a better passer and a more aggressive shot taker, if you will, which is going to excite some people. Now, it's going to infuriate some people, but it's going to excite some people around here.
So, Chris, I know we are going to disagree on this next question. I'm absolutely sure. The biggest X factor on the defense for this season, I'm going to say Landon Collins. Who are you going with?
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to say Landon Collins. I can tell you that much. But good luck with that one. I mean, if that turns out, AWOD, I'll give you all the praise and credit. I'll let you do an hour with Pete Medhurst and drive him
crazy. Oh, stamp that one!
So I would say for me, I think the biggest difference maker, and I don't know if statistically it will be this way, but I'm looking at WJ3, and here's why. Not only because he's a better corner than Ronald Darby and a much better corner, but his ability, AWOD, to play man, hip-on-hip defense and in-your-face is going to allow not only this defense on his side of the ball to be more aggressive, but I think when you add St. Juste on the other side, and Kendall Fuller, who's probably better in man than zone anyway, I think the philosophy change of Jack Del Rio going from roughly 62% zone to probably more of a 50-50 mix or maybe even a slight advantage towards man versus zone is going to make a difference, especially in an NFL where quarterbacks want to get the ball out of their hands quickly, and they don't want to sit behind an offensive line that could be leaking against this defensive line. So I think William Jackson III is going to make the biggest impact, the biggest impression. And quite honestly, he should. He's getting paid a lot of money to do that. And he's finally out of football Siberia. So let's see what you've got. Let's see what you've got. But I think he individually, but also because of the philosophy change and what it allows Jack Del Rio to call and be more aggressive with, I think that's why I'm going there.
Yeah, that's a good answer. And I'm looking forward to him as well. I think he's going to help the secondary tremendously. Here's a question. I think it's a good one. Surprise player who will become fan favorite on offense. Because every year, there's a training camp sensation. I would say Cam Sims was last season. Who's going to be this year's surprise fan favorite that's actually going to play? You can't say Sammy Reyes because he might not end up getting into the game. I'm sure everyone loves his story.
Right. It is a great question because you're really looking at, okay, who is not only going to be an August hero, but who's going to make an impact in September and October. Based on that kind of question, because I agree with you, I don't think Samus Reyes is going to make the initial roster. I think he'll, you know, make the practice squad or whatever. You know, and wide receiver, I mean, I can't go there because, you know, again, well, De'Ami Brown's going to make the roster. And, you know, sure, he could surprise some people, but I think there's a level of expectation there. So I'm going to go with Jared Patterson, the running back out of Buffalo, the undrafted kid with local roots. We all know the story, right? And here's why. I mean, I know Peyton Barber slimmed down. I know Peyton Barber has impressed coaches and OTAs and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Peyton Barber's really, 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 really good in short yardage. But to me, I don't know if Barber is a guy that you can say, okay, listen, in November or December, go out and run the ball 16 or 17 times. As a matter of fact, I know he's not, because they had the opportunity to do that last year, and they didn't want to do that, right? Because they only trusted him really in short yardage situation. Now, he's got a role, but if Jared Patterson can find a way to convince this coaching staff that he can do that role, and he's got more pop and more sizzle and more wiggle at 5'6.5", 5'7", and I understand he's small, I get it, but if he can find a way to do the pass catching to be a compliment for J.D. McKissic when McKissic wears down a little bit, like he did at the end of the season, if he can be a reliable, solid option to spell Antonio Gibson, either if Gibson gets banged up or just, again, as a change of pace with explosion and pop and wiggle, I think that guy could make this roster and maybe even bump out a Peyton Barber.
That's really interesting there. This is Chris Russell on 106.7 The Fan with Adam Epstein, AWOD Weekend Radio. Chris, a lot of times in the NFL we see it, momentum at the end of the season carries over for next season. Do you expect that for Washington, or do you think, you know, the change of the, you know, changing of the quarterback will be huge and really could stop that? Because I think getting off to a hot start in a 17-game season where the end of the year, you know, is nothing but divisional games, basically, is so important, right? They've got to go into that stretch of the end of the year above 500.
Yep. It's critically important to get off to a hot start, no matter what anybody is going to tell you. Oh, it's only September. Oh, you have 16 more or 15 more or whatever it is. One game does not make a season. And all of those adages are true, A1. But you know this, right? You've got a brutal schedule in terms of 8 home games, 9 road games, a first-place schedule. The 17th game was Buffalo. Oh, by the way, they were one decent quarter away from the Super Bowl, right? In Buffalo. Now, you get a little bit of a break because you don't go to Buffalo in, you know, December. You go there in late September. You don't have to go to Lambeau in December. You go there in late October. Now, that could still be tricky. Same thing for Denver, so on and so forth. But you get a little bit of a break in that regard. But what you don't have this year is the soft cream cheese like schedule in terms of not only the opponents, but also the quarterbacks. So you're going to have a much, much, much tougher gauntlet of premier blue chip quarterbacks, at least right now on paper, until we see things shake out. So that's number one. But I would say this, the most important thing for me, why this team needs to be a hot start, is two reasons. You see Ron Rivera talking about, hey, there's a real quarterback competition here between Taylor Heinicke and Ryan Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah.
And while that might be lip service, and I believe it's more lip service than reality, I do think Taylor Heinicke has a very, 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 very outside shot of winning the starting job out of camp and out of the preseason, a very outside shot. But I don't think his opportunity is that far off if Ryan Fitzpatrick really struggles. And say, what if they go, AWOD, 0-2 in 2 home games against the Chargers and the Giants in a span of 5 days, and Fitzy throws 1 touchdown pass and 6 interceptions? You know there's going to be a lot of calling for Taylor Heinicke, and it could get ugly around here. And if you're 8 home, 9 road, the first place schedule, the gauntlet, whatever, and you go 0-2 to start at home, you're in big-time trouble. Big-time trouble. Not that you can't climb out of that, but you're in big-time trouble because of the way the rest of the schedule sets up. You're going to need the division to suck, which it did last year. But I don't expect it to suck as bad as it did last year. Now, nobody expected it to be as bad last year as it was, but I, it's hard for me to sit here and say I expect the NFC East to be the NFC least 2 years in a row. I don't expect that. So at least go 1-1. And if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick and Scott Turner, don't put yourself in a position where after week two on a Friday afternoon, you know, we're all saying, hey, is Taylor Heinicke going to start in Buffalo next week with extra time to prepare because Ryan, you know, because they're 1-1 or 0-2 and Fitzy's got, you know, 2 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah. Well, if we lose to the Giants week two, I'm going to be pissed off, right? I mean, we can't lose three straight to the lowly New York Giants. That's for sure.
That defense is better than you think, though, right? Yeah. And better than I thought it was last year. So, I mean, don't just automatically dismiss it, you know, but it's the combination of the Chargers and the – and I know the Chargers got a pretty decent defense, and Staley's their head coach, and he did a great job with the Rams last year. But, you know, quite honestly, like my dead grandmother could do a good job with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. let's be honest. So you've got to come out of that 2-game home stretch to open up the year, AWOD 1-1. However it happens, minimum 1-1, and ideally 2-0. If you're 2-0 and things are moving along, then a lot of things are going to, I don't want to say shape up nicely, because you still have a tough road, but you give yourself some margin for error.
Yeah.
You give yourself some operating and some wiggle room.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to run. That's Chris Russell here on 106.7 The Fan, joining me from the hotline. I'm Adam Epstein, here with you till 11:35 on The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. Ryan, I can't believe how much notifications I'm getting on Twitter for that little conversation I had with Chris Russell about the best dad on the station. People love the behind-the-scenes shtick, you know? It's like they love, like, we could talk Wizards. I talked Wizards after they fired Scott Brooks, and I was like, is this mic even working? No one wants to call in. Are they typing the number in wrong? You know, 1-800-636-1067. Were they typing in 1068? I was like going crazy. I couldn't get calls about that, you know? And then you just put out any Washington football team topic, and the phones light up for hours. But they also, they go on Twitter when you're talking about, you know, behind-the-scenes content, right? If anyone's talking about what Drab ate for lunch, you know, it's all over Twitter. You'll have people chiming in. But that's, I love the P1s of our station like that. Have you noticed that now you've been working with Grandanny a lot?
Exactly, yeah. No, they love the behind-the-scenes stuff. That's what they love here, which, especially with the P1 listeners, they just like to know about what we do outside of the studios. Like,
yeah.
Or not we, but you guys.
Yeah, no, I had a friend the other day who was asking me who was producing my show, and I said it was Ryan, right? And they were like, is that the kid that ate the cicada a couple weeks ago?
Oh, God. That's like, how I'm known for.
That's how you're known now.
Great.
And they were like, was it chocolate covered or something? Was it cooked even? Or was that bad boy alive?
That bad boy was alive.
Oh, my God. Did you feel like crawling in your mouth?
I thought I felt like a wing in my throat for like a day, which was bad. Yeah, it's like I couldn't get rid of like an itch I had in my throat. And I think it was like a wing.
Oh,
that's what
it, goodness.
At least I was convincing myself of that. I don't know. It was nasty.
You'll do anything for airtime, huh?
It wasn't for airtime.
You're similar to me.
It was for $100 from a listener who still hasn't given me that $100. If you're out there, I know who you are. I know who you are.
Maybe you can get Drab to cover the payment. But look, I used to do anything to get on air. The junkies would say, Adam, put on a helmet. You know, there's helmets in this studio. Run into that wall. And I would happily do it. I was giving myself a concussion.
There we
Will
go.
Smith style.
That's right? Great. That is awesome.
They brought in, what's his name, Paul Rabel? Let him fire lacrosse balls at me? Would you do any of that? Like, Valdez took a sledgehammer to his car. Are you that committed to the Grant and Danny show?
So a sledgehammer to the car, that's too much.
Okay.
That is way too much. But I would definitely get Paul Rabel. I've heard the name. I'm not a lacrosse guy, but I know he's like goated in the lacrosse world.
What about
world.
Would you wear your stinky underwear on your head for a day? I did that one time.
Wore
it around my neck. Like a chain.
I mean, yeah, I would do it. I'd feel bad for the people around me, but I would do it.
And you'd eat like a ghost pepper hot sauce?
Well, and here's the thing with the cicada is I had like a super hot sauce. Remember I was telling you about it? The one that literally has a warning sticker on the side because of a heart condition if you eat it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was it.
And me and you are the same that, you know, I was called the lying liar on the air. And this week you were found lying on the radio to your mother saying that, hey, mom, I'm going to get food on the way home when you just didn't want to eat her dinner.
No.
I'm throwing you under the bus even more here. And you don't even have time to explain yourself.
Exactly. So we'll get into that later. We'll get into it later.
Yeah, absolutely. On our non-sports segment. Coming up at 11, we just saw the final. France against Hungary 1-1. We've got two more matchups today in the European Cup. I will preview them and give you my big fat winners next on The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm Adam Epstein, and you just saw Hungary versus France. A big match for Hungary as they fell 3-0 to Portugal in game one. It's interesting. They really battled a lot for that most of that game against Portugal, but three late goals led to that lopsided final score. But Hungary are a team not to be slept on. They defend well. We saw them create a few goal-scoring opportunities. They put one in the net, and then France was able to score late and tie it, but Mbappe, Griezmann, Karim Benzema were not good enough today. N'Golo Kante and Paul Pogba. And so France ties Hungary. Still puts them in a good situation after defeating Germany in the first match. So they have 4 points after two. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the 12 o'clock noon game that will decide who advances out of the group of death. And that 12 noon game is Germany against Portugal. Portugal, of course, everyone knows they're led by Cristiano Ronaldo, the greatest-looking soccer player of all time. I mean, he just looks like a model out there. He's in the best shape of his life still at 36 years old. But this game will be won or lost in the midfield, if you ask me, with Renato Sanchez and Bruno Fernandes trying to set up attacks for the Portuguese. Can João Félix, Bernardo Silva, and Cristiano Ronaldo get on the end of one of those balls from them and create an opportunity and from that opportunity, put one back into the back of the net for a goal? Because I think they're going to have to get off to a fast start, because Germany has their backs up against the wall. Germany is facing elimination if they lose to the Portuguese after failing to score in their opener against France. And I said it before, I'll say it again. This is the group of death. Hungary, France, Germany, and Portugal. One of those teams, maybe two, will be left out of the tournament of the round of 16, if they're unable to get enough points. And of course, if you're not familiar, you get 3 points in soccer for a victory, 1 point for a tie. So Germany are dead if they fail to secure at least a point in this matchup. That's why I do like Germany to get an early goal. They've got Serge Gnabry up top. He's got blazing speed. He can totally be a one-man breakaway for Germany. Kai Havertz is playing with tremendous confidence in the middle of the field for them after winning the Champions League with Chelsea. And Joshua Kimmich, who I talked about a lot with Sebastian Salazar the other day on my show, who covers the Euro Cup for ESPN. Kimmich is just such a complete player. Anytime Germany plays, they have to find a way to get him on the field, because he can play right back. He can play midfield. And, you know, he can play right wing back. He can get up the field and cross it in. And at just 26 years old, he's a vital veteran for this German lineup, and he's going to be a big part of the national team moving forward as well. And so can he be calm under pressure? Can Germany turn defense into offense and get an easy opportunity and knock one into the back of the net? Hopefully, if you're just a fan of soccer, we see a high-paced offensive battle with a few goals. That would be great to see. Let's see Ronaldo rocket a long-distance shot at Manuel Neuer, the incredible goalkeeper for Germany. I'd love to see him make a few diving saves. He's all over the field. He's one of those goalkeepers that if it's a breakaway, he will come off his line and slide tackle you. He's done that numerous times in the past. I'm going to go ahead and predict a scoreline of a 2-2 draw. Both teams really need to get a point here. Germany way more than Portugal, who was able to defeat Hungary 3-0 in their first matchup. But it will set up a really interesting game three of the group of death here, because Portugal, win or lose, will have to play against France. And that next matchup will be, I believe, on Wednesday. The third matchup today is Spain versus Poland. Poland has Robert Lewandowski, one of the greatest strikers in the world. They have him up top, which really gives them a chance against anyone anytime they step on the pitch. But they just really have a lack of pure talent around him. and they don't have nearly any of the footballing ability that Spain produces. The touch, the finesse, the speed of Spain will likely be too much for Poland. But if Poland can get on the score sheet, it gives them a chance, as this Spain team has struggled for a complete striker to find anybody in the entire country of Spain to play striker for the past 8 to 10 years. It's been tough for them. Alvaro Morata, who's starting at striker for them right now, is not the answer. He continues to blow easy opportunities in front of net. He's offsides 4 or 5 times every single game. But they've got a lot of talent in the midfield, so I've got Spain being victorious 1-0. So everyone, you can tweet me at AWOD Radio anytime throughout the show or after the show. I'll get back to you. But there, it is the summer of soccer. There's so much going on here with the European Cup. And I have to give credit to my guy Floyd Thursday, who hits me up on Twitter all the time. He sent me a Euro Cup predictor, and that is something that I'm going to get into during the commercial break because it's so much fun, because it's hard to really know who the matchups are going to be in the second round after you get through the group stage. And then so you pick the winners of each of the group stages, and that will set you up with your quarterfinals. I said it earlier in my show the other day that I am predicting England to make a deep run. Germany, France was my pre-tournament prediction, but after seeing a few games from either of the teams, I like Belgium a lot more now. I like France as well, and the Netherlands should not be slept on. But England is the team that, you know, everyone across the pond is talking about, of course, and they've got a team not to be slept on as well. They were unable to get a victory yesterday, but they were going against their biggest rival, Scotland, who they have been playing since the 1800s. Ryan, I'm reading, or I should say listening, to this book right now on Audible, and it's all about the tactics and formations in soccer. It's way over your head, but it's so interesting. And the way soccer got started in, you know, in England, and then it traveled all throughout the world, there's so much history in it, and that's why I love the beautiful game. And so I want to make you a fan. You were just asking me during the break, is there going to be a champion of this Euro Cup? Yeah, there's going to be a European champion at the end, so you better be damn watching the finals. I'm going to turn you into a soccer fan and maybe a Chelsea fan either.
We will. We did get into this a few weeks ago, how my friends tried to convert me to a Chelsea fan, which you are a Chelsea fan, trying to get me into a Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
So I think it could work out.
What
I think
about this?
Could.
During the World Cup. So I guess I can get how you can't get the juices flowing for the Euro Cup. But when it's the World Cup, now, USA didn't make the last one, but, you know, 8 years ago when they were in it, were you fired up? Were you going out in D.C. to sports bars and giant watch parties?
Well, I mean, I was only 13 at that time.
Oh, my gosh. You're such a baby.
I know. I was a baby then. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I was a little sized
for
it.
You were more focused on which Dorito flavors you were going to
exactly,
get.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I was trying to devour all those Dorito flavors.
Nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese. That's
cool
mine.
Cool Ranch.
I'm not a Cool Ranch guy.
Oh, come on.
I know. It's
See,
weird.
My new favorite is the spicy nacho. It's like, it's, you know, you got your regular nacho cheese flavoring, but it's a little, there's a little kick into it.
I like that.
Let it sizzle on your tongue.
Oh.
I'm Adam Epstein. Quick break here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan, final segment of AWOD Weekend Radio. It's been a lot of AWOD. JP from the Junkies might even say AWOD fatigue, because I was on Wednesday night on The Fan, Thursday night, and now Saturday morning here on 106.7 The Fan. The next time you can hear me will be next Wednesday. I'm back on overtime. Ryan, I love it, especially because my guys Grant and Danny give me a little hype. You know, they give me some of their audience. You know, they got a great audience, so I love going after them, so you can hear me next Wednesday night. So it is the Wizards offseason. The Washington Wizards are rumored to be interested in Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot. He's been an assistant coach for the past few seasons, and he thinks he's ready for the big stage. He's had a historic NBA career. I'm sure the guys would want to run through a wall for him. I know he'd be good with X's and O's, but developing the guards isn't really the issue for Washington. So that's my only concern with Chauncey, right? We know we're going to get out of Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, but can he develop the small forward and power forward positions? Listen to these guys. Rui Hachimura, Thomas Bryant, Denny Avdius, Davis Bertans, Anthony Gill, Chandler Hutchinson. Washington has to find a way to improve that position group mightily. I mean, one of those guys has to almost become an all-star level for Washington, or they need to bring in a good guy that could be that third scorer. So my guy Chase Hughes, who I have on the show all the time from NBC Sports Washington, put out a really good article on NBC Sports Washington and their website for five players the Wizards should trade for. And he started with the pipe dream. That's Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, he's an absolute superstar. But where is he playing? Minnesota. Nobody's ever heard of him, you know, except for big NBA fans, obviously. But he plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He struggled with injuries, but he also never got nearly enough talent surrounding him to make a deep playoff run. Towns is so uniquely good. They're particularly on offense, right? He's young. He'd be a perfect fit to complement Beal and Westbrook. The fact that he's a big that can hit a deep shot and his playing style, I think he would make the Wizards a contender immediately. You're high on that.
Oh, of course. Karl Anthony Towns is a beast on both ends of the floor, in my opinion. I think he could step up this Wizards offense to be a conference contender.
Yeah.
I really do.
The next guy, Chase mentioned, he said aiming high, and that would be Paul George. And I agree because he's got a history of playing with Russell Westbrook, right? And the toughest thing to recruit Paul George, though, would be it's so difficult to get him to want to leave L.A. Now they make it to the conference finals. That's why I was kind of rooting for them to lose. But he's been trying to get to L.A. the past four seasons, right? He finally got there through a series of trades where he went from Indiana to Oklahoma City, then to the L.A. Clippers. He got to his hometown. Why would he want to leave, you know? But he's a very talented small forward, still young. He's playoff-tested. He's been in great battles with OKC and with the Indiana Pacers, making it to a conference finals that Washington has never been able to do. So he would immediately make Washington a contender. You're big on Paul George.
Of course. Of course I am. And, you know, especially after these last two games of the series, he's been dominant.
Yeah.
He really has been.
Yeah,
so
he stepped up with Kawhi Leonard being out. The unlikely but realistic scenario, Pascal Siakam. In my opinion, that would be the perfect fit. Like, that's the type of player that would turn Washington around completely. He plays defense. He creates his own shot. He's a damn good rebounder. And I'll say it again. He's a defender. And that's one of the biggest things Washington needs. They can't get a guy that scores 30 points but plays no defense. Because, you know, we already give up 130 points per game. He would immediately change the focus of Washington's offense. He'd be a legit number two to Brad Beal. And so if you could bring him in, I would even consider trading Westbrook for him. Because I think that's a big two that would be better than Beal and Westbrook combined.
Exactly. And he's young as well. So, I mean, he's going to fit this mold in the offense where and the defense as well that we have a young team right now. We do. We have Denny. We have Rui, Brad. All those guys are still relatively kind of young.
The fourth guy on Chase's list, he said lower ceiling. That's Kristaps Porzingis. This would be a buy low trade for Washington. Kristaps is coming off what I would consider a terrible playoff series, in which one game he was empty from the floor. 0 points for Dallas during their loss to the Clippers. A giant waste of talent, it seems like, because he's never inside the paint. He lives around the three-point line, similar to Brook Lopez. You know, he's got the ability to score 20-plus and have 10 rebounds, but you have to find a way to get him the ball. You know, he's not a kind of guy that's going to make off-ball cuts. You got to get him the ball in his positions. And so, you know, I think it would be a risk for Washington going after him. But here's the thing that Chase said. Despite all the criticism in his game, you know, rightfully so in the postseason, he's coming off his most efficient regular season of his career. And he's only 25 years old.
I would love Kristaps, honestly.
Even after that playoff series?
I think I would because he's great on the offensive end when he's on.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a better Davis Bertans in a way who can also play defense.
Yeah.
But he can shoot. So that's good.
Yeah. I would say he's a little different than Bertans because he battles more and he's a little taller. But I get what you're saying there. His last player mentioned from Chase Hughes was a possibility, and that's Miles Turner from the Pacers. A big man in a world where big men are dying. You know, we saw it. I mentioned it earlier on the show. Rudy Gobert was a total liability. He's a big reason why Utah lost and are now eliminated from the playoffs. But Miles Turner, he's still young. He's strong. He's shown the ability to dominate. The Eastern Conference would be great when Washington goes up against the likes of Joel Embiid. But he's had injury problems as well. He doesn't have an outside shot, right? He can make it when he's open, but it's not something I would count on. And he, like I said, he's going to be a liability when you play against small ball lineups like the Brooklyn Nets or even the New York Knicks with Julius Randle as their center. So he's got a lot of selling points. He's only 25 years old. He's also due to make $36 million. So he's, you know, that over the next 2 years. So it'd be tough to swing him here with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. But here's the biggest thing, Wizards fans. Daniel Gafford's working on his jump shot this offseason. He could be your third star. Daniel Gafford was incredible when he got his opportunity here in Washington after we traded him for him from the Chicago Bulls. I'm Adam Epstein. Thanks for everyone listening to AWOD Weekend Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.